Welcome back to the 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. My name is Wayne Kimmel, Managing Partner of 76 Capital, the sports tech venture capital company. And on this show, I have the opportunity to interview top sports entrepreneurs, athletes, and executives who are shaping and many times truly changing the sports business. It's amazing that I get this opportunity. And today I'm really excited to bring on a special guest, Johann Jr., the president of Johann Promotions. Johann Promotions, what they do is they connect bars, restaurants, casinos, movie theaters with live sports entertainment programming to help them grow their loyal customer base and so much more that Joe and his dad do at Johann Promotions. Joe, welcome to our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show.
Wayne, thank you so much, and I'm very excited to talk with you today. This is a box I wanted to check. I watch the podcast very frequently, and I'm very humbled and grateful to be here with you today.
Well, I'm really excited to have you on the show because your story is amazing, and it's your story, it's your family story, it's your dad's story. I read this amazing article about you and your dad, and at the very end of the article, you said something to me that just touched me in such an incredible way. You said every day, or it's always Father's Day for us, and that is just an amazing statement. Tell me more about your dad.
Well, my dad's really an amazing man, and you know, I am grateful to be the leader of the company now, and he gave me that responsibility, you know, a number of years ago. But it's for me just been an awesome career. I've been working for him for close to 45 years, but when this company was started, they talk about, hey, I started this business in the trunk of my car. No, my dad literally had the business in the trunk of his car. That's where Johann Promotions started. And, you know, when I take a look at my father and his awesome career, you know, he's 87 now and certainly taking less time in the office. But his impact on this business and this industry is amazing. And the fact that I have been able to just sit at his right hand and, you know, be guided by him, get the opportunity to have his wisdom and experience guide my career. I have no idea how many mistakes I would have made in my career had I not had him, you know, guiding me and leading me and giving me the advice that he did. And also, you know, I ride on, you know, his coattails and his reputation in the business. I remember many years ago when I would call like HBO and I'd be like, hey, can I talk to the boss there? And they'd be like, who's calling? I'd say Johann. They're like, this doesn't sound like Johann. And I'm like, this is his son, Johann Jr. Ah, oh, that's great. Nice to meet you. Your dad's the best. Sure, we'll put the call right through. I mean, I just took it for granted then. I had no idea, you know, how lucky I was to get entree to, you know, all of those relationships that my dad had. So in so many ways, you know, it is Father's Day for me every day here with my dad. And I am blessed that, you know, I had him as a mentor and a boss and a dad.
Well, it's amazing, you know, I just hope that everyone gets an opportunity to not only just listen to the podcast, but also watch the show on YouTube. Because the pictures, the posters behind you of the incredible fights that you guys aired were absolutely amazing. So seeing, you know, Hector, you know, the Macho Camacho behind you and Duran and Tyson, and I mean it's amazing. It's amazing.
We just moved our offices about 4 years ago. We're just in Lower Bucks County in a small town called Feasterville, Pennsylvania. The new office is about 25,000 square feet. And we didn't need all of that space for our staff and our, you know, our offices. The rest of the building houses the Johann Boxing Gym, which is our family's commitment to a nonprofit organization. But it also has a memorabilia room. And this building used to be owned by Beneficial Bank. So, of course, at Beneficial Bank, what did they have? They had a vault. So we kept the vault. So we built a memorabilia room around the vault. And my dad has this unbelievable collection of memorabilia. It's been valued at millions and millions of dollars. We have a poster from every event that we've ever done. And of course, along the way, we've collected autographs, photos, and boxing gloves and jerseys. And, you know, you'd be amazed at the stuff that my dad has, you know, in the collection of things here. But when we get to hang them on the wall, like maybe behind us, it's certainly a reminder of, you know, what this company has done over the years and how we've provided a service to the commercial universe, being bars, restaurants, theaters. And I like to think that our company has been an ambassador for all of the, you know, of the sports, especially boxing, because that was where, you know, our business started and our roots are in, you know, our relationship, our family's relationship, and really my dad's relationship with Joe Frazier. So,
well, I'd love to hear that story because I think it's really interesting, you know, how it, the whole business, how Johann Promotions came about. And, you know, because, you know, most people, myself included, you know, would say, well, you know, a bar or a restaurant, they just turn on the TV and you just go watch the game there. It's a little more complicated than that, right?
Oh, yeah. There's way more behind the scenes that goes on, but I love telling the story about how this company got started and how my dad was lucky enough to get involved with Joe Frazier. So it's, I guess, sometime in the late 1960s, my dad's a cop in the city of Philadelphia, and he picks up the Daily News and he reads an article about these six successful businessmen that formed a company called Cloverleigh. The purpose of Cloverleigh was to manage the boxing career of a young fighter that had just won a gold medal in the Olympics by the name of Joe Frazier. When Joe Frazier came to Philadelphia, he had nothing, literally. He had a family and didn't know where to live and was trying to start his career. It was nothing like, you know, the guys that get out now and get big signing bonuses when they're, you know, signed out of the Olympics or whatever. So these gentlemen hired Joe. And he became like an employee, and they got a share of Joe's purse, but they paid Joe a salary to be part of Cloverleigh. My dad read the article, and he literally wrote a postcard to one of the principals, one of the big owners, and they called him on the phone, and they said, "Hey, we got your postcard. We love the fact that you're interested in what we're doing, and we're going to give you a chance to be an owner of the company. Come to the next board meeting and bring $500. My dad hung up the phone. He's like, "I just don't even believe I had that phone call. Where am I getting the $500 from?" So he went to the police and fire credit union and borrowed $500, and he bought two shares of stock at $250. And he was now the seventh participant in the ownership of Cloverleigh. He says a couple years go by. He's still working as a cop. Every once in a while, he's driving a cab to pay some extra to get the car payment. He's running Cloverleigh. He's collecting a couple bucks there. And he says, I find myself on March the 8th, 1971. I'm standing at ringside at Madison Square Garden. I'm 30-some years old. And my fighter just won the heavyweight championship of the world by beating Muhammad Ali. And he said, "I just feel like I'm living a dream." And one of the things that happened in his relationship with Joe was my dad was sort of the guy that came up with the concept of called closed circuit TV. And in those days, what happened was they used to rent big arenas like the Spectrum or Convention Hall or Madison Square Garden or Radio City Music Hall. And they would put a gigantic movie theater screen up. They put a projector in the middle of the floor, and they would show and broadcast the fights live so that people in those areas near those arenas could buy a $10, $15, $20 ticket. It cost you $20 to see Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali on closed circuit TV back in those days. So Cloverleigh said, "We want you to start your own company." And reluctantly, my dad started Johann Promotions. So he's a cop, a cab driver, managing Cloverleigh, and now running Johann Promotions. And at 38 years old, my dad has a massive heart attack. He was probably, as he would tell you, doing all the wrong things, smoking, drinking, staying out late, you know, trying to run four businesses. And so the business kind of sat, you know, still for a while. And then I graduated in 1980 from a small school in Northeastern Pennsylvania, King's College. And my dad said to me, "I have a deal for you. You want to get married? Do you have any money?" "No." "You got to get money. You got to buy a house or something. So why don't you come with me and be my partner on this fight? I can get the rights to do it, but I'm not healthy enough. I can coach you and tell you what to do. I don't know, Dad. I see how hard it is, how hard you work, all you're doing. I don't know if I want to get involved in this business. I want to play basketball or something. You know, maybe I can go overseas and play. And I was lucky enough in 1980, I got drafted by the Sixers. And my dad was friends with Billy Cunningham at the time. And that had a lot to do when we getting drafted. But I said, okay, hey, I'll do.
You know what? Listen, Joe, not all of us can say that part. I mean, being drafted in the NBA, no matter who you know and all that other stuff, that's pretty awesome. Congrats on that.
Well, it was a great experience. And some people say to me, how long were you a Sixer? And I said, 3 days. That was the length of the rookie camp. So I knew what my time in the NBA wasn't going to be really long. But we did that first fight together. And lucky for me, the first fight that I ever did with my dad as his partner was the first Sugar Ray Leonard Roberto Duran fight. And at that time, that thing broke all the records for, you know, closed circuit TV. And we made a ton of money. And after the event was over, my dad came over to my desk and I had that Aaron Brockovich moment, if you remember the movie, where, you know, the lawyer hands the check to Julia Roberts. And I get the check from my dad and I open it up and I'm like, my name's on that check, and man, there's a lot of zeros on it. I'm like, what's this for? And he goes, you're my partner. That's the profit on the show. I'm like, holy smokes. I wasn't expecting this. Like, he said, I told you that was the deal. You were going to be my partner. And he said, you did a good job. And he said, the good news is they're going to do a rematch in November, because that fight was in June of 1980. And he said, do you want to do the rematch? And I thought about it. I looked at the check and I go, one more time. Like, that's it. And, frankly, I just never looked back after that. You know, I really, really started to enjoy the business. And, you know, the business has changed so much, like, over the years. But, you know, being able to say that you have a career and a job in the sports and entertainment business, for me, God, that's my heart and soul. It's the perfect job for me as far as I'm concerned.
It's such an amazing story. It's just so awesome to hear about the relationship between you and your dad, and being able to do something that you're truly passionate about. I mean, to work in the sports and entertainment industry, it's something I talk about a lot. You know, we're so lucky and blessed to be able to do what we do, because in, you know, we wake up in the morning and you're doing sports, right? I mean, you go to games, you go to fights, you go to, you know, and it's work or something, right? I mean,
it's a combination of both. We get paid to do something we really, really like. I know I'm not the athlete. You know, they always talk about the athlete gets to do, you know, play the sport that he's always loved and he gets paid to do it. That's how I feel. I get to do this job every day and somebody's paying me to do it. And man, I sometimes want to just pinch myself and go, is this really my life? Like, I just am so, so lucky and really, really grateful to my dad and not only my dad, but my mom and my dad's sister, my Aunt Pat. You know, certainly my dad's name is on this company and it will always be there. But, you know, in those early years, my mom, I can't even tell you how much, you know, she worked on, you know, helping with the company. I would come home from school. All right, sit down, stuff these envelopes with press releases, and I'm going to put the stamps on them. And you got to run to the post office. And tonight you got to go out and put posters on the telephone poles. And, you know, we all worked it. Everybody contributed. My aunt many times would say, you can put my house up as collateral to buy the rights for these fights. Don't worry about it. And with no guarantee, you're going to get your money back. And so, you know, what's that Jay Wright famous saying? We're here today because of those, you know, before us. Boy, that's so true to me in this organization. You know, I tell those young kids when they go by my dad's office, he's working there every day. I said, you know, just remember, he's 87 years old and he doesn't have a hobby because he was building this company in all those early years so that you and I could have a career here. And we shouldn't forget that.
Amazing. Amazing. I mean, Joe, it'd be awesome for you to share and to really break down the business, you know, the business of Johann Productions, what it was, right? As you were talking about earlier, filling up these large venues to where it's been. And then we'll talk about where it's going, of course.
All right. So it's a little bit of a lengthy story. So stop me whenever you have a question or something, but I love telling you about it. So I explained a little bit about how it started. We were in the gigantic arenas, the Spectrum and all those kind of places. And then somewhere in the late 80s, I guess, the Sting pay-per-view TV started showing up on our radar. And we're like, what the hell is pay-per-view TV? And we find out that the cable systems are going to let you buy the fights like on their TV through your remote. Oh, no kidding. So people are going to be able to watch these fights at home. Yeah. So my dad and I are like, this was a good business. Like, it's going to end. We're going to go out. Everybody's going to watch it at home. And that's going to kind of be the end of it. And all of a sudden, bars that started in their area getting pay-per-view on their cable, the bars in the area started calling us and going, hey, can you sell the fight to us like through the satellite or cable systems? And we're like, I think we can, because we have the rights for out-of-home market. So why don't we do that? So all of a sudden, like in Eastern Pennsylvania,
let me stop you for one second. So the bars themselves, they couldn't just go on and buy the fight, right? Yeah. On their cable box.
Yeah, no, they couldn't do it. Fortunately, that was never anything that Johann Promotions did. It was how the cable systems were set up at that time. They were just like, there's residential customers and then there's commercial customers. And they were paying different rates. Like, you know, if they were showing if they were showing a product in the bar would get charged, I'm making these numbers up, $250 a month to show that program. And the person at home was paying $25 a month because the bar obviously had a bigger capacity. So they had the separate counts. And when the boxing promoters were selling the fights, you know, to the cable companies, they said, you have the rights for the homes only. You do not have the commercial rights. Johann Promotions is the company that owns those. So that divide gave us the opportunity to have a place in the market. And we decided that, holy smokes, we could start doing this. So as the cable, somebody flipped the switch and now every cable company in the United States had pay-per-view. It took years for the cable companies to reinvest in themselves to have that technology. You know, they had to redo their entire cable system. They had to get different kinds of boxes, different remotes. And that was a large investment for the cable companies. And so they did it gradually. Even when they started, if they had 10,000 subscribers, they might have only had 500 of them were capable of, you know, taking it on pay-per-view. So the marketplace was changing. This is still to this day one really astute, you know, philosophy that my father has. You have to evolve as a business. If you try to say, hey, this is how we do it, we always did it this way, you are going to get left behind. So we as a company follow my dad's philosophy, and that philosophy being follow technology. Find out where it takes you. Don't worry about where it takes you. And when you get there, figure out how you get a seat at the table. And that's kind of, we kept a really open mind about it during that period of time when there was this dramatic change going on about how we operated as a company. I wasn't renting projectors and movie screens for big arenas anymore. Now I was contacting, you know, all the Ribbit restaurants in the Philly area, if anybody's old enough to remember them. Or, you know, now one of our best customers in the country is Pete at Chickie and Pete's, and all the Chickie and Pete's locations show our events for us. So we started realizing that was the direction to go. And we were delivering the signal by cable at that time. Then somebody comes to us and they go, hey, there's this new thing called USSB. What is that? It's this small dish. It's like the size of a pizza pie. And you could put it on like the ledge of your apartment and you can get it and you don't have to pay for cable, but you can get all these other programs. I'm like, wow, this is really amazing. I have to see this thing. Well, they were right. And that USSB eventually morphed into what people know today as DirecTV. So now all of a sudden, wow, in 2 days or something, I could get somebody to get a dish at their bar and restaurant and put it on, and they could have the fight in just, you know, I can get them and flip the switch on as long as I had their account number. That's what we ended up doing. We rented a channel on the DirecTV satellite to deliver the signal to the bars through their DirecTV service. And that became another way for us to deliver the signal. Now, all the time that we're doing this, it's primarily all for boxing. We're doing all the big boxing events. And remember, that's the Tyson era. That's the De La Hoya era. It was a lot of the Sugar Ray Leonard, Hearns, Hagler, and Duran era. There were big boxing events being made at that time. So it was kind of all working really, really good. And that really did carry us for a long time, that was, you know, how we were delivering the signal. We usually on our events are usually selling somewhere just below 5,000 bars for a big UFC, MMA, or big boxing event. A lot of those are repeat customers. Like I said, Chickies and Pete's are always on board, and we do all the Buffalo Wild Wings. They have 1,200 stores in the United States. They're one of our best customers. Dave and Buster's, forgetting some of them right now, but you know, we do six of the major eight chains in the sports chains in the country are our customers. But I guess, you know, it was probably about 10 years ago, I said to my dad, "Hey, Dad, there's this thing called streaming that's happening. Like, and I'm reading about it in the industry. And I don't know. I think this thing is really going to change how we, you know, look at what we're doing. Going back, technology, trying to follow it. Where is it going to take you?" So he's like, "Well, what do you think?" I said, "Listen, I just think that somehow this streaming product, if they can get it fixed, figured out, because it's in its infancy, I think everybody's going to be doing it. And if they do, it's going to be a different way for us to deliver the signal, you know, to the bars and restaurants." So he said, "Well, how do you want to handle it?" I said, "We got to grow our company. We can't get there and then start to invest in our company and start to bring people on board. We got to roll the dice here, and we got to start bringing more people on board, because if this happens, our business is going to just kind of explode." So I guess about 6 years ago, for the very first time, I hired a chief financial officer. The chief financial officer before that was either Dad or me, depending on what day it was. That's how we were running the company. We were probably only about 15 people. I hired a chief financial officer. I hired a chief operating officer. I brought in a VP of marketing. I have a vice president of operations, which is, you know, technical, dealing with all the satellite and cable companies, and now the streaming companies. And then all of a sudden, this thing, streaming, starts to explode. And now, today, as we sit here, we have close to 15 unique content partners. We have ESPN Plus, DAZN, AEW, WWE, Peacock Network. They're all new players in the sports industry that have programming that our customers want to see. And we are now a 50 employee company. We've grown tremendously. I mentioned that we moved to a new corporate headquarters here. We're 25,000 square feet. And I can't even tell you, you know, how great business is for us. We're probably close to $100 million a year company when we sit down and look at the revenue that we're generating for, you know, ourselves and our content partners. And the streaming part, the best part about it to me is that it allows me to stream in the footprint that we've had, which is the US and Canada. But now I can take the signal and send it to Dubai in 3 seconds if I want. We have casinos in Dubai that buy programming from us. I'm working on a deal now trying to expand into Australia. We're already into New Zealand. I'm trying to figure out the UK market and how that works for us. So like, we were this small little company in Feasterville that was working in the US that was a big footprint for us. Now we're a global company. I mean, we can take this signal anywhere in the world through streaming that we want. And so I tell people all the time, you know, I'm 65 years old. I'm pissed that I'm not 45 because, man, I want to be around when all this exciting stuff is going on in this industry. Like, I never thought that our company's 54 years old. I never thought a 54-year-old company could experience the growth that we're experiencing right now. I just thought we were going to ride off into the sunset. I have two sons. They don't have an interest in the company, but I love them to death. They have careers. They're very successful. That's fine. But I just thought that, you know, this company would probably just fade away when I retired or whatever. But man, that is just not going to happen now.
It's such an incredible story. And as you said, you've been able to really continue to grow and build and take advantage of all the new technologies. And, you know, one of the things, I think you're a really unique person to be able to, you know, answer this question. It's one of the things that we think about a lot at 76 Capital. And we talk about how, you know, just a couple of years ago, the big technology companies, the Googles, the Amazons, the Netflix, the Apples of the world, Microsoft, right? They weren't really into sports. They weren't doing much around the sports industry. But now, holy smokes. And I'm sure, I'm guessing that you probably didn't do business with these people in the past. But now they're probably on your speed dial.
It's so true. And I got a great story to share with you to emphasize that point that you're making, that you're exactly right. We were never even on those companies' radars. And I'll give you this example. ESPN Plus launched, I guess, maybe 4 years ago. At that time in the industry, you just start to hear stuff and bar owners are calling saying, hey, can you get me that ESPN Plus? And I'm like, guys, find out what ESPN Plus is and come back to me and tell me what that is. So the guys come back and they're like, Joe, it's this amazing channel. Like, they do tens of thousands of events every month, and it's streaming, and it's all the sports all across the country. It's unbelievable. And I'm like, man, we got to find out how we can get the rights to this. Are they selling it to bars and restaurants? And they're like, no, nobody's selling it. Through my friend Billy Cunningham, my dad's friend Billy, we get an introduction to somebody at ESPN. So I go up to New York and I get a meeting and I go into this like boardroom and there's like four or five guys from ESPN on the other side. And I bring Billy because I want to impress everybody and my dad, you know, and I walk in there like with all these guys. And I said, look, the guy's name was John Lasker. I said, John, here's my question. Can you give me an introduction to whoever the person is in your company that is selling and handling ESPN Plus being sold to the bars? And he looks at me and he goes, that's all you want is an introduction, like a name? And I'm like, yeah, that's all I want. And he's like, okay, well, hold on. And he looks to his right and he asks the guy to his right, like, hey, who's handling bars and restaurants? And that guy's like stuttering, like, I don't know who that is. And he goes, okay, never mind. And he looks to his left and he's like, who's that guy? Who's the? And now they're going, wait a minute. Are we even, a fight like breaks out on the ESPN side of the table. And I'm like, hold on, stop. I said, I'm a good attorney. If I'm not an attorney, but I'm following you. Like the attorney said, don't ever ask a question. You don't know the answer. I know the answer to the question, guys. You don't have anybody doing it. What does that mean? I go, means you're missing an incredible opportunity for your product to be sold to bars and restaurants. Explain it. Okay. We hit the button and we do our presentation. And a year and a half later, we landed the contract with ESPN Plus. To be the exclusive commercial distributor for them. Now that's probably been a year and a half ago, and we have over 6,500 bars every month that are buying the ESPN Plus subscription. And as a company, we should be so proud of ourselves that if we didn't knock on that door, they probably still wouldn't be selling it to bars and restaurants. They still wouldn't do it. And you know, I tell our team all the time, you don't realize how impactful everyone here is in the jobs that you do on the industry. Like, product is getting out there to bars and restaurants because, you know, our company is oftentimes pushing these gigantic media companies. Like, I'm laughing at myself, like, this is this little boutique company from Feasterville sitting in, you know, ESPN's offices, probably in some people's eyes, the largest sports media company in the world. And we're doing business with them, which is pretty friggin' amazing.
It really is. You know, and one of the things, Joe, we've talked about, and one of the things certainly we are involved with in a very big way at 76 Capital is sports betting and the legalization of sports betting across the U.S. What kind of impact is that having with you, for you, helping, you know, your business?
It's been enormous. You know, when we first started selling to casinos years and years ago, we would sell a couple casinos in Vegas if they didn't black us out because the fights were there a lot. And then we would do the 13 casinos along the boardwalk in Atlantic City. That was it. Now, I got two guys in my office dedicated to selling casinos and sports books and any kind of gambling establishments in the United States. I'm not lying to you. There are hundreds and hundreds of them when I'm telling you there was a dozen or so before. And product like the ESPN Plus programming is really important to them because they're sitting in their sports book and there's some guy in there, you know, that wants to know, you know, how the Mississippi State versus King's College game went. And he went because he's got $100 bet on the game and they're able to show it, which is, God, they love the fact that they have that flexibility. So what it does is, for me, it creates a customer because that customer has a need for that programming. And so sports betting has been enormous impact on us in a very, very positive way. And it's the toughest problem we have is keeping track of all the places and the states that are opening up with more gambling and things like that. That's one of our biggest challenges.
One of the other, I know, big partners that you work with, and you mentioned it briefly, you went from boxing to the MMA world is UFC. And I know they're a really important partner of yours.
Yeah. I was lucky enough in 2001 to get introduced to the Fertitta brothers and Dana. And we explained to them again, hey, you guys have a pay-per-view product. There's a commercial market out there for us. You think so? We're like, yeah, it really is. And so we were granted a contract to be the exclusive commercial distributor for the Ultimate Fighting Championship in 2001. And we struggled for a few years with that product. It wasn't as well known as it is today, and it wasn't kind of catching the attention. And the whole Fertitta story is an amazing one, the UFC and what those guys did with it to take a $4 million business and make it a $4 billion business for them. And I'm really proud to say now, and Dana helps me say it, you know, we're in our 23rd year of working for the UFC through sales and of the company and new partners and things like that. And Dana reminds me often that, you know, we're the one vendor that has been with him from the very, very beginning. And I don't want to make things political, but I know why Dana is friends with Donald Trump. And the story is that Donald Trump helped Dana get the UFC into Atlantic City when Trump owned the casinos down there. And he needed that deal so bad at that time. And Dana is a very, very loyal guy. And, you know, I like to think our company and my team do a wonderful job for him and produce a lot of money. And I think we do. But he always reminds me that he was appreciative that we were there in those early years and we're there now when things are going really, really good for those guys.
Well, Joe, it's been amazing having you on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. I mean, hearing the whole story of Johan Promotions, hearing the stories about your dad, hearing about his business philosophies, the way that you've run the business, the way you've continued to evolve the business as technology continues to change has been amazing. And I have one last question before we wrap up. I feel like we could talk all day, and I'm hoping everyone is enjoying this as much as I am hearing these stories, you know, as you said, you've been able to continue to change, move things forward. When you look out over the next 3, 4, 5 years, are there things that you are kind of starting to say to your team, hey, what about this new fill in the blank thing? Are there things that you're looking at right now that you're really excited about or things that maybe that no one even knows about yet that you're looking at for the future?
So absolutely positively, there is a new product out there for us that's going to be the next UFC. ESPN Plus, that is now in its, you know, second or third year for us. And for me, that is going to be the future, you know, cornerstone piece that, along with the UFC, for as long as we can keep that relationship going. But we're always looking for the next opportunity. And so many times when we take a look at them, like I shared the story about ESPN Plus, they had zero bars showing ESPN Plus, and now we've got it to $6,500 a month. The UFC had zero bars showing the UFC in 2001, and now we've got that up to maybe 4,000 bars a month when we're showing it. So it isn't like there is something out there that's this big thing that we're going to grab. I think what you always have to do is, and we're constantly looking for the next new product. And I'll share, it's ironic we're having this conversation today. This morning, before I got on this podcast with you, I took a phone call from an old friend of mine, and he goes, "Can you call me Monday? I got something really good for you. I think it might work in the commercial space." This guy's got an excellent reputation, worked for HBO for 25 years. And I said, "All right, my curiosity is killing me. Tell me about it." Sumo wrestling. Sumo wrestling. How about that? Is it popular? Like, you won't believe in some of the, you know, I'm like, and how are we doing? You know, I'm asking all the questions right away, but like, hey, maybe in 3 years, I'm going to come back and you're going to go, "So how are things going?" And I'm going to go, "Wayne, you can't believe this sumo wrestling. I'm kicking ass with it. It's the hottest thing going." So we are always keeping our eyes and ears open. And I'll go back to one other thing too. I believe that because my dad has had this company in the industry for such a long time and built such a good reputation, that those are the kind of phone calls that we get and the opportunities sort of try to find us. We're always looking on our own and trying to create them. But I think this company has an enormously bright future. And if I'm looking down the road right now, I don't see one thing that's like, hey, that's it. That's the golden ring that we want. But I do see this like bright light that, man, I want to chase it, because I'm telling you, there continues to be a pot of gold at the end there for us. And that's what we're always chasing here at Johann Promotions.
Well, I love it. I love it. It aligns so well with everything that we're all about and everything that we do here at 76. I love your story. I hope we get to do a lot of things together. Please send our whole team's best to your dad. We're so excited about, you know, that just getting to know you and your business and all the things that you're doing. And it's just great to have you on our 76 Capital Sports Leadership Show. Again, Johann Jr., the president of Johann Promotions, thank you so much for joining our show.
Wayne, thank you very much. I was, like I said before, really humbled to be on here. And, you know, I always enjoy having our conversations. But thanks for letting me share, as I call it, the Johann story. I appreciate it.